You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the title of this message is, Will All Israel Be Saved? Now, before I move along with this message, you're going to find out something that you've never known about the Bible before. How do I know that? Because I also didn't know it. And I can't take full credit for it. But I will say one thing. If you listen to Classic Compare, the previous version, I believe it's Classic Compare 10, right in the beginning of the message, this secret is revealed. However, I'm going to teach on this secret, and I'm going to show you things that you've never realized, perhaps, before, in these teachings that you've heard many times. Before I move along, I haven't mentioned donations for a while, so I will. I would like to encourage you. My Mac went sailing away, so to speak. It's finally gone. And I would offer you, if you donate $20 or more, you can pick a free album from my site. If you donate $35 or more, you can pick two free albums. You can donate by going to davidjamesboston.com. And there's a donate button either right on the front page or in the Saxon's Creed section of the site. Thanks to those that have donated. I appreciate it very much. And have had some recent album sales, which will help me. Anyway, on with the more important things. And that's this message. Now, the Judeo-Christian teaches their congregation, these false ministers that wouldn't know the Bible if it crept up and bit them. And they teach that sometime near the end of the age, all of Israel, meaning the Jews, will all of a sudden turn to Yahweh, and all of Israel will be saved. But let's find out if that's true. Let's find out if all Israel will be saved. Number one problem we have with this teaching is the Jews are not part of Israel. They never have had anything to do with Israel. The man who had 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel. They are masqueraders, and they are putting forth falsehoods and claiming that they are the true Israel of the Bible when this is just not true. And it will be very apparent to you by the end of this message that it's just not true. So, your Judeo-Christian minister says that all these Jews at the end of the age are going to Just all of a sudden repent. You see, they're going to do all kinds of evil throughout the centuries. They're going to shed all the blood of the prophets and shed the blood here and there of all Israel and the true Israel, that is, the seed of Jacob. And then they're just going to wait till the last minute and they're going to just turn around and say, oh, we believe in you, Yahweh. Well, if you believe that, you're sadly, sadly mistaken. Number one, Yahweh's not that stupid. And for you to presume so shows your stupidity. So let's see what Yahweh in the flesh has to say about all Israel being saved. Let's see what he says. Because though you, see, I know you, dear brothers of my race. I know how you wish. You know everything about the Bible. You don't open the Old Testament at all. You don't even know about the Apocrypha. All you do is study the New Testament, but you know everything about the Bible. Nobody can tell you anything because you know it all. I know all of you people. I come up against you all the time. And because of the reason I have to come up against you shows that you are not of us in the first place. Let's go to Matthew 8. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Yeshua, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Yeshua said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Yeshua, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily, which means truly, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Now, there's an interesting statement. And I say unto you that, now I want you to pay strict attention to what Yeshua is saying right now, Judeo-Christian. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What kingdom do we speak about? You see, Yahweh has only made a covenant with one family upon the earth, and that is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what the kingdom that he's speaking of. So some of the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So right here we see that all Israel is not going to be saved. Why does your so-called Christian minister not tell you this? Well, let's move along. See, that's the premise we base this on now, that I'm going to be basing this on. Okay? I haven't told you the secret yet. I've just told you that not all of the Israelites shall be saved. But there shall be other people that will be grafted in. To the kingdom. Your minister told you that that's you. But that's not true. So let's go to Romans. This is your famous chapter that you people, you Judeo-Christians, love to use to say that everyone's going to be saved. Now, I'm going to read this right from the top. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. And one thing you must know about the Apostle Paul is that he was a Pharisee. He was not a Jew. He was an Israelite. But he was in the order of the Pharisees. Not everyone in the order of the Pharisees was a Jew. Just like today's government, you have it strewn about with Jews, and then you have a token Israelite somewhere in there. A few, maybe if that. But if you're talking about the Supreme Court, there are no Israelites on the Supreme Court. Isn't that interesting? But there are Jews, many Jews on the Supreme Court, aren't there? Isn't that interesting? Because we're in an Israelite nation, not a Jewish nation. So the Apostle Paul wanted to be involved in the Pharisaic order. Probably because he thought he wanted to be, he was called as a priest perhaps or something. I don't know. But this will be revealed to you very quickly. So here he says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite. I'm pausing because he did not say, I am a Jew. Listen again. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Who are his people? The Israelites. Not the Jews. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed, the offspring, the lineage of Abraham, and of the tribe of Benjamin. You see, he was part of one of the tribes. Judah and Benjamin were down the south. When the tribe split into two sections, in the north were the 10 tribes, and in the south, just above Edom, our greatest enemy, who are the Jews, you had Judah and Benjamin. Those two tribes were in the bottom two countries. So the tribes, it's called the two sticks, so to speak. So he continues in verse 2. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scriptures say of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Yahweh, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of Yahweh unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Yes. You see, why would he reserve to himself 7,000 men if everyone was saved? But anyway, neither here nor there. He moves on in verse 5. Even so, then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, that's very confusing, isn't it? What you have to realize is this grace he speaks about was given to all of Israel when he died upon the cross, when Yeshua, Yahweh in the flesh, died upon the cross. This grace was extended to all Israelites. Does this mean all Israelites took this grace? See, when he's saying it's no more of works, he doesn't mean, well, now that you're saved by grace, you don't have to do works anymore. This was Yahweh giving us, redeeming us, and forgiving our sins of the past Israelites so that they could be taken out of Sheol. The caves talked about, spoken of by Enoch. People used to have to go to these three caves, and there were three different categories. And Abel is in one of these caves, and he's constantly praying against the seed line of Cain in the book of Enoch. So there were three different caves at that time. So when Yeshua died on the cross, this grace was extended to all of Israel. So when he says this and tries to confuse everybody, I don't think he did it deliberately. It's probably the interpreters here. It's probably the King James translation. You are saved by grace through faith. There's no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean you are released from the works of the law or from good works. Those who continue in my works and obey my commandments, they are the sons of God. Not those who are saved by grace and said a prayer sometime and then just went about their life and ignored me or pretended that they knew me and my word. Works continue. Ye shall know them by their works. You shall know them by their fruits. Ye shall know them by their language. Ye shall know them. Do not make the mistake that the Apostle Paul says here, the law has been negated. The parts of sacrifice have been negated because the sacrifice has been made. These so-called Jews want to institute the temple back in that little place over there. And they want to continue sacrificing. But they're not sacrificing to Yahweh. They just play like they are. They're sacrificing to Baal or Moloch, the same people they've always sacrificed to. They've even got the red heifer right now, supposedly. Can't you see that there's something wrong with the picture of them being Israel? I'll prove it to you in this message. Yahweh, again, changed the course of the message this very morning. It just happened. And it's amazing how it's done. However, I think this is going to be very revealing to you because you've been taught these scriptures many times and you have not read them properly. Because the one problem you have is that the Old Testament, which you ignore because you've been told to ignore it, is a second witness. You see that when you talk about the two witnesses, the first the Old Testament is the witness of those who wrote it down through the inspiration of God. And the second witness is those who interpret what was written and then speak about it and teach on it. However, so he goes to verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath attained it, and the rest were blinded. You see, as it is today, all Israelites living on this earth right now, and that does not include the Jew, because they're not Israelites, most of them are blind. They're following the Jewish version of Christianity. And they shall not obtain what they think they're seeking for, which is salvation. He goes on in verse 8, according as it is written, Yahweh hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And I submit to you that it's unto this day as well. And David said, this is verse 9, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back away. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. We've got a problem already now. Gentiles. For to provoke them to jealousy. So what your Judeo-Christian says here is that the Jews have fallen so that you, dear brother and sister of the Caucasian race, who are the true Israel, but they call you Gentiles, you are grafted in to provoke these Jews to jealousy. That's not the way it is. Let's read it again. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the nations, to the kinsmen, for to provoke them to jealousy. That's not the Jews. Our kinsmen would be the people that the Apostle Paul would preach to. You see, the Apostle Paul was not given to preach to the Israelites. The Apostle Paul persecuted the Israelites, and Yahweh shone his great light unto him, and he turned from his ways. So he himself, even though he was an Israelite, one of these blind Israelites, he was given the task that would be a harder task because he had persecuted the true Israelites. So Paul will tell you later here that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. What he means is he's the apostle to our kinsmen. They're not Israelites. The Romans are our kinsmen. They're not Israelites, but they're our kinsmen. And they are to be grafted in. Gentiles does not mean people that are non-Jewish. I challenge you to find out if that's true. Of course, I know all you Judeo-Christians know it all, and you're probably shaking your head right now, and you're very upset because you can't get through to me and tell me how wrong I am and argue with me all day and night. But you see, some of you will see what I'm saying, and others will not. Because of what this had said earlier here. Right? According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. You people still don't see. And the reason is because ye are not of God. In the same way the Jews are not of God. They can't see either. And they can't hear what Jesus told them. He spoke to them in parables. You believe that all the races of the world, all the peoples of the world are to be saved. If that were so, he would not have spoken in parables. If that were so, he would have not given our own Israelites a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. Yes, think about it. Just use pure common sense, if you have any left. Now, I haven't got to the secret yet, but it's coming very soon. For I speak to you, kinsmen. Or should I go? Let's go back to... Okay, back to 12 again. Let's just start right there. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the nations, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, kinsmen, nations, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the kinsmen, or nations, it says Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might have some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, and we don't speak of the whole world here, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Think about that. For if the first fruit be holy, who is the first fruit? We know Adam was the first fruit, but I believe this speaks of Yeshua. The lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, that's the first fruit, so are all the branches. Because you can't have a pure tree does not bear bad fruit, and a bad tree does not bear good fruit. When the Bible speaks of branches and trees, they're speaking of people. They're speaking of certain nations. It was so back in the garden. So it says in 17, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree. See, Israel is known as the olive tree. Now, if you were a wild olive tree, that means that you were of the same lineage, of the same peoples. You were kinsmen, but you weren't Israelites. You were a wild olive tree, like the Romans were, like the nations that Paul was preaching to. Notice he was forbidden to preach to Asia. Notice he didn't go down to Africa. Notice he didn't head to Mexico. He was told where to go, and he went where he was told to go. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root, Yeshua, the root of Jesse, the root of the tree which gives this tree life. The root of the tree is where the tree is fed. The root of the tree is where the water comes up through. The nutrition is brought up through the root. And the fatness of the olive tree, he finishes off. So he says, and if some of the branches be broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, the Israelites, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. See, the root looked for you and brought you in. You didn't go and find him. But now let's think about something. In the verse that we first had looked at, you see how this relates now. These people were being grafted in. Let's go back to verse 11 of Matthew 8. And I say unto you, this is Yeshua, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, hello, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. In other words, they'll sit down with the Israelites, with the covenant people in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, some of the seed of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the covenant people, shall be cast out into outer darkness. You see, this grace was for them, and all Israel shall receive this grace. But that does not mean that all Israelites will take this grace and accept it and walk after Yeshua. We have many people in our race, in the Adamic race, that will not follow Yahweh, that will not ascribe to his word, that will not listen to what he has said, because they all know better, you see. Our race has a real know-it-all problem. I have a new song that will be coming out called Mr. Know-It-All. Yes. Our race knows it all. And you could probably say, well, you think you know it. No, I don't know it all. I'm constantly learning. I don't know it all, not even close. However, I do know what Yahweh wishes me to know, and I do teach you everything I know. I don't create a power base over you so that you have to keep coming back to me so that I can help you up each degree. I tell you everything. I shout it from the housetops. I want you to know what I know. I don't need a power base over you. I don't want a power base over you. I want Yahweh to have a power base over you. Not a religion. So we see that it just talked about the branches that were being grafted in there will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Do you see what it's saying? Do you see what Paul's saying right here? Now, the Apostle Paul goes on. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. You see? Well, because of unbelief. What did I just tell you? The grace was available to these people, but they did not believe. There were Israelites that did not believe. Their eyes were shut. And because of this unbelief, they were broken off. So since they did not believe, Yahweh extended this grace to our other family, to our other kinsmen, not to all the families of the earth. No. To the others of the Adamic race. Oh, race, that word, it drives me crazy. The Jew programmed that in my brain. He said not to talk about race. No, why do you have to keep bringing the race up? Why do you have to, that you know that that's wrong? Is it? Who did Yahweh make a covenant with but one family of the earth? Who were his literal offspring, as I taught last week, as he taught, had me teach you last week? The Adamic race. That's it. Period. If you don't like it, you can jump up and down all day long, but it will do you absolutely no good. So it goes on in verse 21. If Yahweh spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. See, Paul's ministry was a lesser ministry because he had persecuted the Israelites, as I told you. So he was given a lesser ministry. This ministry was not as important as the other apostles going to the true Israelites, you see, and that's the truth. However, you know, there's a man named, he's from the Prophecy Club, and he calls himself a prophet, Stan something. And I've seen many of the videos, and they're interesting videos, but he'll have these devils, these people who used to be Satanists, so used to be. Yeah. And all of a sudden, they came into God's kingdom, and now they're prophets, says Stan, not Yahweh. This is just pure bunk. Crapola, because Yahweh does not operate like that. I knew that right away, that there's something very wrong. You see, when Yeshua cast out the demons from that fellow into the pigs, and he was healed and sent away, he wanted to serve Yahweh. Yahweh said, no. Go thy way. That's not how he operates. You don't serve the devil and then turn around and say, I believe in God now, and all of a sudden you're going to just be a prophet in God's kingdom. Just doesn't work that way, Stan, the apostle, the self-imposed apostle. So anyway, if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, or Yahweh, on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness. If thou continue in this goodness, otherwise in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Let's hold on right there now. Did he say that you could just say the prayer and you could just walk off into your own life and you'll just be fine? No, let's listen again. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of Yahweh on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness. Here's the key, though. If thou continue in his goodness, in his law, in obedience, in good works, either you do this, Paul says, or otherwise thou also shall be cut off, a cut off branch. And they also, if they abide not in still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. You see, but I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the Apostle Paul. This is where Mr. Hagee gets his nonsense. He pretends that Israel is the Jews and that they don't need to be saved. You see, and this is where he gets this nonsense from. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. Maybe I'm not getting this. If they abide not still in unbelief, so in other words, maybe he's saying they've turned, then God will be able to graft them in again. Perhaps that's what he's saying. But if you misread that, like I was just reading it to you, you could say, well, he's saying that these are the Jews and that they do not need to believe in Jesus Christ. They're already saved. This is where this kind of confusion comes from. Verse 24. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles? No, the fullness of the nations or fullness of the kinsmen be come in. And that's who Paul was sent to, was to the kinsmen, the nations of our kinsmen. He was not sent to Asia sent to any of the Chinamen. He was not sent to Africa. You have to realize there was an Ethiopian in the New Testament as well. But this was not a black Ethiopian. Ethiopia was not always black. Just like Egypt, when it was at its height, was white. And that's been proven yet again. Don't be fooled. So he goes on. This is the key. I want you to listen very carefully, and here's where the secret is. This is what Bertrand L. Comparé had pointed out, and you all missed. Maybe you didn't listen to Bertrand Comparé, classic Comparé. I happen to have a gift from Yahweh, which is I'm able to concentrate for long periods of time on things. A lot of people don't have that. Their mind wanders very quickly. I have been gifted with an attention span. This is a very important gift, and maybe you should ask Yahweh to give you this gift. If you ask him for things like this, he shall give it to you. It is important. Are you ready for the secret? Verse 26, because this is what they say, this is where it comes from, that all the Jews are going to turn around in the end and be saved. But we're going to debunk that right now. Verse 26 of Romans 11. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Wait a minute. You mean it's not from Africa? You mean it's not from China? And it's certainly not from the Jews because they are not of the seed of Jacob, Israel. Jacob's name was changed by Yahweh to Israel, and he had 12 sons. I know you know this. Some of you are saying, oh, you're repeating that again. Well, other people don't know that. And this is for them. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, who had 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob has the covenant. Isaac, his father, had the covenant. Abraham, Isaac's father, had the covenant. Only one family in all the earth have I dealt with, saith Yahweh. Now listen. Let's find out if it is written what Paul said here. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Apostle Paul made a mistake. And this is what Bertrand Comparé taught me. I didn't discover this myself. But however, I've never heard anybody ever say it other than Bertrand Comparé. And now I'm the second person to say it. And so all Israel shall be saved. Let's find out if that's true. Because where did he get that from? He said it was written. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 17, because this is where it is written. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. I would not use the term the Lord, though. But Israel shall be saved in Yeshua, or Yahweh in the flesh, with an everlasting salvation. What's wrong with that? Something's wrong with that picture. But Israel shall be saved. Where's the word all there? Why, there is no word all Israel shall be saved there. And I just showed you other witnesses coming right out of Yeshua's mouth and right here out of Yeshua or Yahweh's mouth saying that that's not true, that all Israel shall be saved. So who do you believe? Do you believe Yahweh? Do you believe Yeshua? Or do you believe the Apostle Paul? Now, I'm not trying to say that the Apostle Paul did that deliberately. I'm not trying to say that the Apostle Paul, he's a man. He makes mistakes. I'm a man. I make mistakes. You people are men and women, and you make mistakes. I know my white race knows it all, so they never really make any mistakes at all. And of course, that's all who I'm speaking to right now. I know you, but I'm telling you, you do make mistakes. And I'm telling you, you are wrong. And I'm telling you that you should believe Yahweh and you should believe Yeshua before you believe me or the Apostle Paul. Now let's go back and finish that, and then we'll come back to this and read some of what Isaiah 45 says. I hope the point I've driven it home. See, it didn't say all of Israel. Let me go back one more time and read that verse just so you get it now, and then I'll read Apostle Paul again. But Israel shall be saved in Yeshua with an everlasting salvation. The Apostle Paul, Romans 11, 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. Nay, 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 nay. Now you may wish to blame the interpreters for this. Maybe they added the word all in there. Huh? What do you think? So now your Judeo-Christian minister has been proven wrong by Yahweh and Yeshua. Ah, that's what Eli said. He said, this may be a translator's mistake, not Paul's, just what I just said. Thank you, Eli. Now, it very well may be. However, the Apostle Paul is not above making a mistake, Eli. And I am not above making a mistake either. But make no mistake that all Israel shall not be saved. And certainly no Jew is going to be saved either. No Jew is part of Israel, so it has nothing to do with them. See, now, what does he say here? He goes on from that, and so all Israel shall be saved as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them. This is my covenant unto whom? Who is this covenant unto? Jacob. When I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. He's talking about the people that are of Israel that do not believe. And there are many of them. Eli says it appears to be a misquotation either way. It's okay. We all do that. We all might add a word here or there by accident. And the Apostle Paul, whether it was the interpreter that did that, which might have been deliberate, or not, we make mistakes like that. It's just a simple mistake. I'm not saying the Apostle Paul is evil. I'm not saying the Apostle Paul is now to be not trusted because he added a word. And those who add to the word, no, nothing like that at all. What I'm saying is, what Bertrand Comparé said was, in Paul's zeal, in his enthusiasm, he said this and kind of just misquoted what was being said, what was actually written. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of Yahweh are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, ye have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so, have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For Yahweh hath concluded them in all unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of Yahweh, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of Yahweh, or who hath been his counselor? The rabbis have been Yahweh's counselor. Did you know that? Did you know that the rabbis say that Yahweh has to come to them to make decisions and come to them for counseling? Do you realize how ridiculous that is? How pompous and foolish that is? If I were Yahweh, I'd strike him down. But I guess that's why I'm not Yahweh. He'll strike him down when he wants to. Now, you people believe this nonsense? Listen again. For who hath known the mind of Yahweh? Or who hath been his counselor? Who has been his counselor? Certainly no rabbi. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. See, he will redeem those who have lost something. Israel, Adam, the seed of Adam, in the garden, had Shekinah glory. What is Shekinah glory? I hear people say this all the time. What is Shekinah glory? Shekinah glory is like when your flesh glows. You see the pictures of, they're not actually pictures of Jesus, but you see like the glowing of him. Or you notice that when Moses came down from the bush, he glowed so much that he had to put a hood over his head because he was glowing. That's what's known as Shekinah glory. We had, it was either Noah or Moses, but I believe it was Noah. When Noah was born in his little baby bed or whatever they had at those times, his eyes lit up the whole room. He had Shekinah glory, believe it or not. He glowed. And so we have lost that in the garden. We have also lost our first estate in the garden because the devil was jealous, as I told you last week, and he was hurled out of his first estate. He and his offspring now pursue us relentlessly until he and his offspring will be bundled up and burned. He will pursue us to the very last second. So we lost eternal life. We already had eternal life. We already were as God is. We were above the angels. They were told to worship the image of God, the image of Yahweh. You don't believe it? You don't like to hear that? Well, maybe you're not of God. You know, that's about as plain and simple as I can put it. If you wish to fight me tooth and nail over the truth that I tell you, now you shouldn't just believe everything I should tell you. You should investigate it, of course. Did you see that I investigated what William P. Gale said? Did you see that I investigated what Bertrand Comparé said? That Paul misquoted it? And yes, I investigated it. Or else I wouldn't be teaching it to you. However, you fight me tooth and nail, children of Yahweh. But you believe Yahweh's enemies without even checking it out. You believe the Jew. You believe everything the Jew tells you. You always have. You love your Jews. You don't question and fight them tooth and nail, do you? You don't search out and find out what it says in the Talmud and what they say about you in the Talmud, do you? You just believe that the Talmud is just like the Bible, the holy book. But no, it's the book of the race of Adam. Au contraire, mon frère. Monsieur Comparé is the only one to ever come up with this, that the Apostle Paul had misquoted this. You know why he knew that? Because he knew the Bible like it was the back of his hand. You Judeo-Christians don't even look in the book of Isaiah. Monsieur Comparé, or Bertrand L. Comparé, he said you could almost reconstruct the whole Bible by by just the book of Isaiah. I think he might have said that in one other book, but most of it could be just reconstructed by Isaiah. See, I haven't studied Isaiah as much as I should, to be honest with you, and it's on my agenda. You see what it means to study to show thyself approved? Why does not your preachers, your so-called preachers, in your Judeo-Jewish version of Christianity, tell you these things? Because they don't know anything about the Bible. Anything more than they're told to know about the Bible by their so-called Council of Churches, their Communist Council of Churches, World Council of Churches, their denominational sermons. They don't even write these sermons. Yahweh gave me this to give to you. There's no denomination that gave me this to give this to you. So now we see that this is totally untrue, that it has nothing to do with the Jew. And no, the Jews will not turn around at the end of the age and just miraculously be saved. As far as the Mr. Hagee, who looks like he missed a few lunches lately, he tells you that it's not even going to happen at the end of the age. He tells you that they're already saved now. They don't need Jesus Christ. How come you don't fight him tooth and nail? How come you don't ask your own pastor about these things when you hear me tell them to you? How come you don't study it for yourself? You afraid that you'd be responsible for knowing the truth? Are you afraid of the truth? So we shall absolutely go right back to Isaiah and we'll study some of what Isaiah has to say here. You know, one time my daughter said to me, "You're glowing." And I didn't know what to think about that, but I think it's interesting. You know, I've heard these New Agers talk about, what do you call it, auras. And they say those are different colored lights that glow around certain people. Anyway, let's go back to Isaiah 45 and let's read a little of Isaiah while we have the time. Thus saith Yahweh to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand have I holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates. And the gates shall not be shut. Remember how he says, I open doors that no man can close, and I close doors that no man can open. And in this case, it's gates. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in the pieces of the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, Yahweh, which call thee by name, am God of Israel. Is he the God of the world? Is he the God of Africa? Is he the God of China? Is he the God of Mexico? Well, in Africa, they have all kinds of gods, but Yahweh's not one of them. And in China, they have the dragon. And that's not Yahweh. And down in Mexico, they have Quetzalcoatl. And that's not Yahweh. He said he's the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect. Now, there's an interesting statement right there. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee. See, he changed Jacob's name to Israel, which means sons ruling with God or ruling with Yahweh. I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. See, that's why I say this devil, who is a God wannabe, he has all kinds of names, whether it's female or male, all over the earth, but he will not be a God. He's a fallen angel. He's just a wannabe, like his children want to be Israelites. Don't you see that his children want to be Israelites? Don't you see these Jew women that they constantly try to color their hair to look like the Israelite beautiful women, but they never can because they're not us? They want to be us so badly. You see, this is the problem. How did they come into masquerading as the children of light? How did they come to be masquerading as Israel? Well, you see, David had made some mistakes. Another mistake. Yes, we're men, we're people. He let some Jew scribes get involved in writing down these things in the Bible. And they began to see the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they became jealous. And they wanted to be us. They follow us and pursue us. They're just as much of a wannabe as their father is, the devil. They will never be us. They will never be Israelites. Never can be, never will be. You can color your hair blonde. You can shave your nose down. You can do whatever you want. You can look like us for a little while, but it comes back in the very next generation. Forget about it. You can never, ever, ever be us. And your father, the devil, Halel, can never be Yahweh. He can imitate him all he wants, but he can never be him. Frankly, it makes me a little angry. I am Yahweh. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee. Thou, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am Yahweh. And there is none else. That's verse 6 of Isaiah 45. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things. Oh no, he creates evil. What do you think about that? Does that shock you? It said that he created everything. Evil has its purpose in the testing of our lives. You know, a plant, as it grows, it receives the light all day long if it's light out, or the rain, which is just as important. But at night, that's when it does its growing. And we have good times but we do most of our growing when we make it through the hard times. There's the purpose of evil. No, evil is not a good-looking thing. It's very ugly. Most of what Yahweh makes is beautiful. Evil is very ugly. And it's hard to live with it and through it. So he says in 8, verse 8, "Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, Yahweh, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker." You see, woe unto you, Judeo-Christian, who bless the enemies of Yahweh. Woe unto you that argue with his children about doctrines and scripture because you think you know it all. Woe unto you that striveth with your maker and striveth with his offspring, even though you are his offspring. The difference is we don't bless our enemies and Yahweh's enemies. You do. "Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith..." Now listen to this. This is how you would interpret this. "Thus saith," it says the Lord, right? "Thus saith Yeshua, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives." See, this is Yahweh speaking now. I have, of course, it's Yahweh speaking either way. Yahweh created the earth through his speaking of it. And his speaking of it is the word. He spoke the everything into existence by his word, and the word became flesh. Yahweh's literal word he put into a flesh body. His word is part of Yahweh. Yahweh's word is part of him. "From the abundance of the heart speaketh the mouth. We are known by our words." Yahweh is known by his word. Yes. That's how they can both be one. "I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways." See, Yeshua had to obey everything Yahweh said. He wasn't doing this of his own accord. "I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city," and the New Jerusalem, "and he shall let go my captives, not for price or reward," said Yahweh. "Thus saith Yahweh, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia, and of the Sabaeans, men of stature shall come over unto thee." Does that mean black men? No. "And they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains shall they come over. And they shall fall down unto thee. And they shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee. And there is none else. There is no God. Verily thou art a God that hidest himself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go out to confusion together that are makers of idols." Who do we know that are makers of idols? Well, there were some within Israel, but there were plenty totem poles? How about makers of idols, the Jews, as in today, American idols? How about down in Mexico? How about in Africa? But Israel shall be saved in Yahweh, or Yeshua, with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith Yeshua that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He hath created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in the dark places of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, Yahweh, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. You see, he wanted his name spoken and from the rooftops. He did not want some Jew to tell you, oh, that name is too holy to be spoken, so we'll just change all that and change it into another thing like Lord and God. And these cunning serpents knew that Lord, even though it can mean owner, it meant Baal, their God. Cunning serpentry. So he has not, you know, when Yeshua came, he didn't speak in secret. He spoke in parables, which were secret to the people that were standing right in front of him, but he proclaimed this in all the air for everyone to hear and see. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, the seed, the Zera, the offspring, the lineage, the race. Seek me in vain. I, Yahweh, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right, and I will testify of that right now, that yes, he speaks righteousness, and he declares things that are right. He's not like me or the Apostle Paul. He's always right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, that they have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, Yahweh? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. You see? See, you can see that in this whole thing, that he's speaking, the Savior is his word, and the just God is Yahweh. So you could say a just God and Savior, a just God who is Yahweh and his Savior, which is his word, Yeshua. Yeshua saves. There is none beside me. You see, I told you it was my purpose to bring the tribes together. What did he just say right here? Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, like Babylon. They have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save, which is Baal. We have the priests of Baal that wear the black robes as the judges. We have the priests of Baal. Once you graduate the Baal University, you receive your black Saturnalian robe of Baal. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Not all the people of the earth. Not all the families of the earth. He's speaking to the people of Jacob. For I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear or confess. That's where the Apostle Paul got it from. Now, do you see how this is in the Old Testament, yet the Apostle Paul has told you that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, correct? See, this is a second testimony. That's why the Old Testament is important. See, it was the written word that he was testifying to. It was the written testimony. It was one of the two olive branches in the book of Revelation. Surely shall one say, in Yahweh have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In Yahweh, or Yeshua, shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Now, when I first read that, I said, oh, wait a minute. It says all the seed of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. But you see, I told you that this grace, this justification will be offered to all of the seed of Israel, but not all shall take of it. No, not all shall accept this grace. Not all shall believe. We have traitors in our race who are the proselytes of the Jews. And you might as well just call them Jews. Traitors. Judas goats. You could call them. And they shall be separated and put to the left with the communist reds, Jews, and all these people that are left. You notice how Yeshua or Jesus puts the sheep to the right, which are the sheep of the house of Israel, and those of our kinsmen that are grafted in. But he shall also, you see, isn't it interesting that on the left, he shall put the goats, and then he shall put the goats that have been grafted in as well. See, Yahweh just taught me that right there on the spot. And I'm telling you, that makes sense. On the tree of evil that the Jews belong to, some of our people will be grafted in. They are race traitors. They hate our race. They're helping to destroy our race today. They're sellouts for money. They're also mercenaries for the Jews. A mercenary is somebody that gets paid to go to war or to do evil deeds. Many of the Freemasons do goat rituals because they are grafted in with the goats. They are Judas goats. So in the same way that Yahweh grafted in our kinsmen from other nations that weren't Israelites, also shall the goats have some of our people grafted into them. And they shall suffer the same punishment, if not worse. They really deserve worse than the Jew, because the Jew is just doing what it's told to do by its father. It's obeying its father. And it's evil as all hell. But the ones who are traitors should receive the heaviest judgment. But I'll leave that to the Father, because that's not my business. I hope that I was able to, or that Yahweh was able to open your eyes today. I know my brothers and sisters very well, so I know you're chomping at the bit. I know you wish to argue. I know how much you love your Jew. I know you'll do anything for Yahweh's enemies. I know you will. You don't love Yahweh. You never have known him. You never will know him. I hope you will, but up to this point, you're certainly not showing me that you want to know him. And so, you shall go down in flames with the children of the flame. And we shall not bear with thee any longer. We shall bear with you now while we have to. And there's still a measure of time which only Yahweh knows. You best take heed. I am a warning beacon. And this message was obviously designed to pluck you out of the fire. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.
After rattlesnakes, you gotta be tough, you gotta be rough, you gotta shoot straight. Be on the lookout, the James Gang is back in town, and they're meaner than ever. There's Brother Eli, he stomped down many a snake in his day, and he ain't done yet. His younger brother David, quicker than a horned toad, he can hunt down a snake's lie. Then there's Sister Jean. She can whip out a scripture faster than a Colt 45. Yeah! 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 Wanted, dead or alive, they'll be coming for you. It's the James Gang on EuroFolkRadio.com.